from your kindred and all, by the campfire at night, where the wild dingoes call. But there's nothing so lonesome, morbid or drear, than to stand in the bar of the pub with no beer.
One of Australia's finest to call Steve Grumpy Collins from his new website, which is fantastic, stevecollinstraveller.com.au. Grumpy, good morning.
Well, good morning to you. And that, I think, was a major hit in England as
massive,
well as being in Australia.
Yeah, I reckon that's got to go back to the early, mid-60s, I'm going to say.
I think it was the last 78 to become number one in Australia.
Oh, so it might even be a bit earlier.
Yes. Oh, yeah, went back a fair way. Yeah. Look, I'm just going to start on a very sad note, Tony. Arguably, well, probably not arguably, Australia's best aviation writer and commentator, Geoffrey Thomas. He lived in Western Australia. He passed away yesterday. He was a fantastic guy. But when it came to aviation, he knew just about everything. He was, you probably would have had him on your show a lot. He was internationally known. He was always on American TV and British TV, etc., because he was just so knowledgeable about aviation. And it was a bit of a shock to find out about his passing. So
yeah,
I'd just like to say, Geoffrey Thomas, great guy, wonderful human being, and I'm sure he's going to be missed.
Yeah, you and I had the opportunity. I got a couple of phone calls yesterday from people who alerted me to the fact that he'd passed away. It was a bit sudden, which is sad.
Yes.
So the idea of what he did for aviation, he became, as a journalist, he began to specialise, I think, as a storyline in aviation, fell in love with it, did lots of work and writing and publications right across Australia, right across the world, where he would write about aviation, how important it was to the economy and the changes that took place, and became, you know, the go-to person for TV and radio right around the world.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He actually did work in the aviation industry for a while. He worked for MMA, which was West Australian Airline, which became Ansett. Ansett took it over, took over MMA. But so he did actually work in the aviation, and he told me that that was always his passion. He was always interested in planes, but just a wonderful, warm, genuine human being. You know, great company to be with as well.
And I think if people saw the photo of him, you'll recognise him, because he often go to from TV shows around Australia that would go to Geoff, and he would appear on various programs on a semi-regular basis for issues that were very obviously clearly important to everybody.
That's correct. And if there was an aviation story, I mean, he was a go-to man for it. He was a particular expert on the disappearance of MH370, which they're still looking for in the Indian Ocean, west of Perth. But, yeah, he was a full bottle on that as well.
And he enjoyed
most interesting man.
He enjoyed a beverage too, Grumpy. I'd run into him from time to time, either at the Court Wine Bar back in the day and or where he would be. He loved really good wine. And,
yes, he did.
We'd walk up and down some of those aisles and talk about wine together and select a couple of really good bottles for the weekend.
Yes. Just a great bloke. And my best wishes to Christine and his family. Christine was his wife. Yeah, very it went quite suddenly, and it was a bit of a shock to most people, I think.
And, mate, you've had a bit of a run too. We missed you last week because you ended up in hospital.
Yeah, I was in emergency at Royal Perth.
Wow.
Because you wanted me to talk about the storm, which was fantastic, but I didn't see or hear it. So I wouldn't have been any good. Now, I just had a sharp pain in my side, and that was, I mean, it was probably the worst pain I've ever had.
What, down the side of the chest or down the side of the leg?
No, it was the flank, as they call it, just above the hip. And it was, it hasn't returned, thankfully, but we had to call the ambo, and my blood pressure was at about 200.
It was dreadful.
Yeah.
What was it?
And when we got to the hospital, the doctor said, well, you're not lying about the pain, because I can see what your blood pressure level was like. But no, they were great. And the good thing about it was that they do every test under the sun. And I realised that I'm actually in pretty good health because they thought it could be kidney stones or it could be a stroke or it could be a brain tumour and all this. None of that. Old age. So there you go.
So what? But really, what did they say it was?
Well, no, it's skeletal muscular.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically because once you age, Tony, all these things start breaking down. And that's, I mean, look, yeah, it could have been a lot worse. So I'm joking about it, but it was painful. But it's also nice to know that there was nothing serious wrong with me as well.
Well, that's encouraging. So you're up and about and feeling pretty good.
Yep.
We're going to talk about pubs, and I hope we get some calls around this for people across Australia. When you think of maybe the first pub you went to as a young person, you know, like maybe a child even, mum, dad, grandpa took us to a pub in Melbourne, which I'll talk about in just a moment. I thought it was the smartest thing that I'd ever seen in my entire life, all at the grand age of, I'm thinking, seven.
Right.
Where not only that, hence the love of watches, the grandfather let me wear his watch into
really?
This hotel for a dining. Thought it was so special.
Right.
And it was the Matthew Flinders, the then very new Matthew Flinders Hotel, Warrigal Road in Melbourne, which is still
really?
There.
Okay. Well, there's I've got a list and there's quite a few Victorian hotels there, but I've got to tell you about my favourite pub. And this is the Dally Waters Hotel in the Northern Territory. It's about halfway between Darwin and Alice Springs, and it is the most incredible place. It's just, look, it's a classic Northern Territory outback pub. You know, you get red dirt, wide horizons, long distances between it. It's a great pub. When you walk in there, it's a very old one. I think it was built in the area in about 1930, and people leave stuff there, and this started a long time ago. Women started leaving their bras there and they're all nailed up in the ceiling above the main entrance.
Pictures of that.
There's hundreds of them. And then they've got other people have left a thong. Now, only one, and I'm talking about the ones you wear in your shoes, Tony, but only one thong. You can't leave a pair. You can only leave one of your thongs. So they're all nailed to a wall. Other people have left money there and hats. There's all sorts of stuff there, but the great thing about it is Tim, who runs it, got a menagerie of animals, including Brahman cattle and Texas Longhorn cattle, which are just amazing, and they just wander through the place. And last time I was there was a donkey and a goat just walking through the bar. There's a caravan park. They've got accommodation. And it's just, but you would love it because there's a place there called, a museum called Tim's Junkyard. But it has all these amazing classic cars, which he's collected over years. So either you'd be there haunting Tim's Junkyard, I think. It's just
what's the name of the hotel? I want to have a look at it. I'll get
No, it's called the Dally Waters Hotel, although everybody calls it the Dally Waters Pub.
The Dally Waters Hotel.
Yep, and it's about halfway between Darwin and Alice Springs. It's just off the main road at a. There is a servo and another pub at Dally Waters on the main road, the Stuart Highway. But you go off, it's about 2-3 Ks. And they've got a huge caravan park there. They've got accommodation. They've got dongers. Now, I don't know if people in Melbourne know what dongers are.
For those that don't know what a donger is.
They were built for mining sites, but these are very good ones. They're air conditioned. They've got your own bathroom, your own obviously bedroom, and a small sitting room and verandas. But they're sealed really, really tightly, and they're very, very comfortable. And if you've got your caravan, then you can park your caravan there. Got kids' playground. They've got a pool. But every morning he lets the animals out of their pen and they walk up the main road and he feeds them on the main road. So if you're trying to get out and you're behind the animals, you've got to wait until they've had their food. You know, it's just and they have in the dry season, because that's when it's very, very popular, because it can get flooded in the wet season. But in the dry season, you get hundreds of people there and they've got an outdoor stage and entertainment. And it's just a real great experience being there. The other thing is their featured dish is beef and barra, which is a steak with a barramundi fillet. You know, it's really good, really good place. Now,
does it have its own runway?
It does, because during World War II, they had they built a runway there for the military planes to land. So there is one close by. Yeah, there is actually a small airfield.
I reckon that should be part of the selection criteria. If you know a pub that has its own runway, you'd be on the list. 133-693. Just look at the photos, mate. The Dally Waters pub, it's got zillions of reviews, and it looks really smut. Not huge, by the way.
No, it's only small.
Yeah.
The pub itself, because it was built in the 1930s, and it's covered outside with vines and stuff like that for shade and stuff.
It's got a little PMG. Look at that old-fashioned hanging on the thing, a little PMG post box.
Yeah, and it's also got a trough there, if in case you ride your horse in. Last time I was there were all these queens.
What? In case you ride your horse in?
People do. It's Stockman country.
Oh, yeah, sure, right. But they only sell 4X gold.
Do they? No, I thought they sold about 12 different beers.
Oh, they might. But on the front of it, there's a big marquee.
Oh, well, that says 4X gold.
Yeah.
Well, last time I was there, there were all these postman's bikes, you know, the old red ones. That was a charity run from somewhere in Queensland to the Dally Waters pub. There are about 70 of them there. It was just amazing.
Mate, when we come back, we can talk some of those pubs in Kalgoorlie.
Well, we can talk about some of the pubs. I've got some. I think I've got other pubs as well over the place.
Stay there. We'll come back. We'll do that next. And plenty of time for recalls for those that have found over the years a really interesting, out-of-the-way pub. 133-693. If you come through now, you'll have it all to yourself. Great pubs right across Australia. Steve Grumpy Collins. Interesting little pubs around Australia. Steve Grumpy Collins. Have a look at the website, stevecollinstraveller.com.au. When Shane Healy first said, look, come over and do some work for us, which you'd remember, Grumpy, you were there.
Yes, I do.
Where I was looking after
remember Shane Healy.
I know, and looking after the brekkie program both on a Saturday and a Sunday, where we do the buy, swap and sell. But leading up to that, we had to find somewhere to camp. So in that week, doing a bit of a wreck, ended up driving down towards Fremantle.
Yep.
Little place, and I can't even think of the name of the pub, but you will probably help me with this. Little pub, not quite into Fremantle. I said to the wife and two very young kids, oh, there's a lovely little hotel over there. Looks really nice. It's 11 o'clock. We'll wander in and maybe have a bite to eat at this tiny little hotel near Fremantle. We get in there and I think, well, that's interesting. It's a few people hanging around. It's nice. So we get in there. All the staff were naked.
Well, I'm not sure which pub that was, to be honest with you.
When I say naked, topless.
Oh, right. Okay, right. Okay.
And
that would have been, when you arrived in Perth, that would have been a thing then.
It was.
A lot of topless bars, yeah.
So
yeah.
I said to the family, I think we might just move on from here. but give me half an hour. But it was really an eye-opener because whilst we'd heard about them, it was not something that was probably quite as prolific in Victoria and or South Australia.
Probably not. I mean, it was very prolific in Kalgoorlie because that's a mining town.
Yeah,
the pubs up there.
And not only that, some of those pubs around Fremantle, because of shipping and so on, they were open.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the sailors used to go in. Yeah. Yeah. At one stage during the America's Cup, which was 1987,
87.
Yep. The Sail and Anchor would have been Australia's best pub because that was the first Australian pub brewery. And it was just fantastic. But the thing that happened, it was what happens to all good pub, corporations buy them and then change them and they lose their allure. It
loses a bit of the culture around the pub.
Yeah, that's right. But I tell you what, I've got a specific topic here. The pub with the best view from the men's urinal, Tony.
Oh, excellent. Hold that thought. Rod in South Australia. What do you got for us, Rod? Good morning.
Morning, Tony. Morning, Steve.
Morning.
That's the one, Grumpy.
Many years ago, and I'm talking, well, 5 or 20 years ago, I got told by the in-laws about the pub at Lockington in Victoria, up near Echuca.
Yeah.
And we were going up there, me and the Director of War and Finance and the Rugrats.
Yeah.
So we're going up there for the weekend anyway, so we decided, well, we'll go over there and wander over and see what the food's like. We got over there, and of course, roast of the day was on, so we had that. But much to our delight, we found that every veggie that was on the plate, not one of them was store-bought. They've got their own vegetable garden out the back. They grow all their own veggies.
Wow.
Gotta love that, Rod. Gotta love that.
There are some pubs that are better known for their food service rather than their drink service as well.
Yeah, very good. Rod, happy day. Stay safe. You were going to say, Grumpy?
Yes, the pub with the best view from the men's urinal. This is the Glenmore Hotel at the Rocks in Sydney. Now, the Rocks, of course, was the first place to be settled in Australia by the First Fleet. It's a very old hotel, but it's a bit high up because the Rocks is very hilly and it's near the Carl Expressway, which leads to the bridge.
Mm.
And the reason why it's very popular is because it's got a fabulous rooftop bar with great views right over Circular Quay and the Opera House and all that. But when you go down to the men's toilet, above the urinal is a long window, and you stand there, and honestly, the view is drop-dead gorgeous. You know, it's just amazing. You've got you're looking at the Opera House, and you're looking at the ocean liners, and it's Circular Quay, and you're looking at the ferries coming and going. Absolutely outstanding view. I've never seen a view like it from any other, well, certainly from any other urinal, because most of them don't have windows.
Well,
but
no,
yes, if you're ever in Sydney, want a twinkle, go to the Glenmore.
It's on the list. There was another one down just in behind UWA there, which is, what suburb's that in behind the university?
That's sort of near Claremont.
Around that area.
Not quite Claremont, I don't think, no.
But in behind UWA, I digress.
Nedlands, that's where it is.
Nedlands, thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So you get into Nedlands, there was a hotel down the left-hand side, and you get in there, and they built it so that when you, both men and women, separate, but men and women, you would go in there. But then as you were having a tinkle, the glass was done that you could look out to the hotel, to the room.
Oh, okay.
So you could see what was going, because clearly they couldn't see in.
But
you're standing there and you're having a tingle and watching people being served their meal. It was a little odd.
Well, you can't see that from the Glenmore, but you do get a spectacular view. Which reminds me that we were talking about country pubs.
Yeah.
Matzo's pub in Broome. There's also one on the Sunshine Coast.
Great hotel, Matzo's.
It's in an old house.
Yeah.
And I actually know that lived there when she was a young girl in Broome. It was her house, her parents' house. But they make great drinks. They don't make so much beer, but they make things like alcoholic ginger beer and lemonade
own brewing. Yep.
Yeah, but it is the most remote brewery in Australia as well.
The outlook from there is wonderful. Say hello to Gary. Hello, Gary. Welcome.
Hi, Gary.
G'day, gents. How are you?
Well.
Good.
You were talking about the view from the urinal of one of the hotels in Sydney.
Yep.
The MCC, the urinal there has actually got a window that you can keep watching the cricket.
Yeah. Really?
the Melbourne Cricket Club.
Yeah, the Melbourne Cricket Club. I did a tour of the MCG decades ago. And, there's a long window there that you don't miss a ball.
Is that... That's a good thing to know. Is that in the members area or was that the general area?
The members area of the Melbourne Cricket Club. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Very famous.
Off the long room.
At the G, it is. Know it well, Gary.
Yep. Iconic hotels in Adelaide, probably the Pier Hotel.
Yeah.
Largs Pier, did you say?
Yeah, the Largs Pier Hotel.
I think
magnificent looking building.
I think Jimmy and the band did a lot of work
there.
They did.
Cold Chisel started their career at the Largs Pier Hotel. They did. I think they might have written a song about it as well.
I reckon they did. There was certainly reference to one of their
songs. Yes, it was certainly referenced in a song, yeah.
It was great. Gary, thank you. We're going to race through some of these in Melbourne Town. Hello, Rob.
Morning, Tone. My best pub would have to be back in the day, Elephant Wheelbarrow, St Kilda and in Port Melbourne. And the urinal with a view, it wasn't so much a pub, but it was one of the hotels in the city. I think it might have been the 35th floor, and the wall was just glass.
Yeah, and you would stand there and look over the entire city.
Pretty much, but yeah.
While you were having a you and me, it was a bit intimidating because people would only want a barrack. Oh,
if you're scared of heights, you'd had a fun time.
That's exactly right. Rob, yes, it's interesting, all these little nuances of hotels around Australia. We will get back to it in just a moment. Wherever you are right around Australia, you can join us now, 133-693, Steve Grumpy Collins. And we're talking those wonderful little hotels, some of the bigger ones, curiosity factor. Give it a rating, 133-693. More the other side. Grumpy, we're talking about those pubs in city areas, I guess, now. I suppose you look at maybe the Windsor Hotel in Melbourne, one of the more famous historical references for a hotel in town.
Well, there's also Young and Jackson's, don't forget, which
Young
is
and
probably
Jackson's
one of Australia's
one.
Most famous hotels.
Yeah, very good
Simply
point.
Because it's got a painting there of some lady called Chloe.
Who does really well.
Yeah. No, look, there's some good... They're known for their food and that, particularly in Victoria, but that there seems to be, Fitzroy seems to be the place where they have some of Melbourne's most popular pubs, from what I can make out.
There's just incredible.
There's the Standard, the Marquis of Lorne and the Rose, which all come up in the polls for best pubs in Melbourne. So it must be, Fitzroy's a very interesting place anyway, but it's good to know that they've got some great pubs there. And the Marquis of Lorne is known for its great rooftop bar and fantastic pub food as well.
Look at all these texts. So one in particular says, I saw a band called Cold Chisel at a place called the Stonemason. Oh, no, I think he's taking the P155.
Right.
The Stonemason's Arms. Thank you for that.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yes.
Some wonderful memories there. The other one somebody mentioned is the Hotel Australia. No longer there. It was on Collins Street. But as a kid, the grandmother took us there. And one of the joys of going to a place like that, it was a bit stylish, a bit sort of special, sophisticated. Yeah. But I remember as a kid, the whiting, South Australia whiting on the menu.
Really?
Was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
All of 10 or 11 years of age. Thought that was as good as life was ever going to get.
Yeah, well, they had an Australia Hotel in Sydney as well, whether it was part of a chain or not, but it was one of they were both these grand hotels. This would have been in the 40s and 50s and stuff like that when they were at their peak, and all the politicians would stay there and international stars and people like that. So, yeah.
What's one of the most famous pubs in Queensland that everybody used to talk about where you go and actually cook your own steak? Quite often.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's
always a good idea, that.
Couple up there where you cook your own steak. I've got to mention one, though. This is the family hotel in Tipperborough. Now, Tipperborough is very remote. It's right deep in northern western New South Wales. It's very close to the border of New South Wales, South Australia and Queensland. And the reason why it's so unusual is because its walls are covered in artwork by some of Australia's most iconic painters. People like Russell Drysdale have been there because they go out to the desert to paint the colours of the desert and that. And whilst they're out there, it's the only pub around for hundreds of miles. So they put paintings on the walls, and these paintings have been preserved. So it's a, yeah, you would never expect to go to a pub in Tipperborough and find out it's one of Australia's great art museums as well.
And that makes them sort of a bit special. I hope they don't damage any of those paintings.
No, they preserve them. Yeah, they've been preserved,
yeah.
I would imagine they're a national institution as well now because of that.
Thank you to all the people who have just texted through. The pub that I was thinking of in Brisbane, mate, the very famous Breakfast Creek Hotel.
Oh, yes.
The Brekkie Creek. The Brekkie
Creek. Yes, everyone
Creek.
Went to the Brekkie Creek, didn't they? Yeah.
Was just presumably still ticks over beautifully. But again, I'm imagining it's probably part of a big organisation that they grab these things.
Yeah.
Not always well, a bad thing, but often can
there's
be changed.
There's a famous pub in Beechworth called Tanswell's Hotel. And that's well known because of its exceptional food there. They use local produce and fire cooked meats and all that. It's got a big name for, I mean, it's a good hotel, but they also well known for the food that they present there as well.
Yeah, and when you think about the pub food of going back 40, 50 years ago to what some of them do now in a pub, it's, you know, just top class, fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I know that you like seafood. And I don't know if you've been to the Jetty Road Brewery and Hotel in Dromana in Victoria.
No, but it's now on my list.
That is really well known for its seafood platters, local mussels and coastal produce. So if you ever want to go out and have a great seafood platter, just go down to Dromana and go to the Jetty.
You've done it well, Grumpy. I'm glad you're up and running, and people can have a look at the website, which is stevecollinstraveller.com.au, and we'll talk again next week.
Okay, Tony.
See,
thanks
made
very
by
much, mate.
Steve Collins. Look at all these texts. The old Bombay Rock Hotel in Brunswick, yes. And in those days, you would only pay about $2.50 to get in to see some really wonderful bands. When you think about those pubs across Australia where you would have seen a band, what's the one that instantly jumps to mind? Because it was such a wonderful, I keep saying wonderful, such a great piece of Australian culture to go and see a band, some of those great hotels. 133-693. It is Australia Overnight. Good morning.